Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
Amen. You can be seated. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Here's where we're at. We've been on this journey trying to love God and trying to love Him like we've never loved Him before. We've been on a journey and learning about personal holiness and about how the Spirit is the only hope we have into expediting that love and the receiving of that love. We began to look at the gift of intercession and how we're to intercede for other people and how even the temple and the temple furniture is a outer court, inner court, holies of holies, the body, the soul, and the spirit. It showed us how to get to God. Even that small furniture shows us how to get to God. We learned that you can be doing the right thing in the wrong way and be in the house of God and miss it. And so I began to ask the Lord, what is the dashboard? What is the lowest common denominator to get to you? And what fuels the dashboard? And He spoke to me, He said, love is the gas. Be very careful this morning. I realize that there is a depth to love in God. And people make fun of this. They say it's shallow teaching. They say, I know this. And that's the most dangerous thing you can say, is to say, oh, I know what He's getting ready to say. And I just want to shut down things this morning. We're a very busy church. We don't just do benevolence and Christmas. We do it 365 days a year. And I just want to get real for a moment. And I want you to understand what the main thing is, the main thing. You know, all of us, I don't know about you, but that scripture that scares me. It says, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out devils in your name? And then get to heaven and Him look at us and go, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. So how do you know God? It's the most crucial question in the building. How do you know you're going to heaven? Because after all, you can do the right thing in the wrong way. How do you sum up all this approach to getting closer to God? Good question. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures. I want you to follow along with me quickly. Proverbs 4 and 23 says, guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life. Go to Romans 5. And I have a whole bunch of notes. See these? I'm not using them. Probably won't even get to them, but I'm ready if I need them. I want to make sure that we take some time and do a tune-up this morning. Not because I think we need a tune-up, but every good car needs a tune-up. But just so I'm in the right building, how many of you don't want to go through all this, volunteer, hide Easter eggs at 9 o'clock in the morning, come to church, tithe, and then go to hell? How many of you would like to know for certain how to know for yourself whether you are right with God or not? Can I see your hands? Romans 5, and I'm setting up what we're going to teach today. Romans 5, start at verse 6. No, excuse me, start at verse 5. Romans 5 and 5. This hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured out in our... And what did Proverbs just tell us? Guard your heart, for that's the source of life. Loving people isn't easy. Love can be very complicated. Wounded people wound people. Have you ever had to love someone that was hard to love? You ever love somebody who didn't love you back? You know, I think about all the people I've counseled in marriages, and they all say the same thing. It's usually the person that just gives and gives unconditionally and loves people without any expectation of anything back. And they just say to me, I have nothing more to give. Somehow their dashboard went on empty. It's been poured out in our hearts through who? Holy Spirit. And what lights the menorah? The Holy Spirit. For while we were still helpless at the appointed time, Christ died for the ungodly. For rarely someone will die for a just person, though for a good person he might die. But God proves his own love. God proves his own love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, since we have been declared righteous by his blood, we will be saved through him from wrath. For if, while we were enemies, see, don't ever say that you found God. You didn't find God. God found you. And here's the thing, God loved us. It sounds so simple, but just stick with me. He loved us when we didn't love him. That's what Easter's about, almost. But God proved his love for us in that while we were still sinners, he died for us. It's interesting. Go to Ephesians 3. Let me show you something. In Ephesians chapter 3, let's start at verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named. I pray that you may grant you, that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through the Spirit in the inner man. That's what we've been talking about since January. Keeping our lights and our passion for God lit. So that, and that the Messiah may dwell where? In your hearts. How? By faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in, now read slowly, may be able. To comprehend with all the saints. Now watch this. The length, the width, the height, and the depth of what? God's love. You know, go to 1 John now, please. 1 John chapter 4. That's where we're going to lean on. And I'm going to do some hermeneutics for you today. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. There is deepness and purpose regarding God's love. And most everyone in here can love people that love them. And you can love people who are hard to love. But that's not really the deal. Let's go into this. Let me show you something. If you're going to get one thing right in this world, and you want to make sure you go to heaven, be very, very careful this morning. It is possible to go through all of this and miss that. But what is it that causes us to be going through all of this and miss that? What is the substance in the dashboard that makes it all work? It's love. Now watch with me. Dear friends, that's interesting because it's in the middle of a letter that he would introduce another subject in the middle of a letter. But he is doing this. It said, let us love one another because love is from God. Listen to me carefully. Love is not God. I saw your heads perk up. Love is not God. If love is God, then love is preceding God. It says, because love is from God. Love is from God. And it says, everyone who loves has been born of God. Everyone that loves has been born of God. Years ago, I knew this man in our church that everybody knew had trouble controlling his alcoholism. But he was always giving, always reading his Bible, always trying to get victory in his life. He was always trying to make it to heaven. Always loving other people. Always giving. And I realized as I grew up in God that there is a possibility that there are some of us amongst us because of religion. Because what is religion? What is a religious spirit? It's a harsh, critical person without love. That it's possible to do everything right, and if you don't have love, go straight to hell. And then I realized that the opportunity for this man to go to heaven was actually going to precede people who were extremely religious, never missed church, tithed all the time, worked in the church like a dog, but had no intimate walk with God. And at the end of the day, if you really want to know whether you're going to heaven or not, let me make it plain. At the end of the day, if you really want to know whether you are in the temple with the lights on or off, let me make it plain today. If you really want to get there and you want to make sure, like the rich young ruler says, listen, I'm a busy man. You got to sum this up for me. And Jesus said, I'll be glad to sum it up for you. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And I've never really understood that like I understood it after studying 1 John 4, because you ask the question, what is love? Most people don't even know what love is. Well, love is God. And then how do you receive love? A lot of people can give love, but they can't receive it. But a lot of people give love because they want to be liked. A lot of people give love because they want to be wanted. A lot of people give love and they expect something back. Why do you think there's a Trinity? A Father, a Son, and a Holy Ghost. Because when there's three entities existing in one, one of them has to love unconditionally with nothing in return. And so the danger is it possible for us to do all of this and then miss God? Yes, 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 and yes. God, I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that person that goes through all of this with sheep bites all over my hand and not understand the depth and the width and the height of God's love. The only other time that language is used in Aramaic or Greek is when Paul said, neither height nor depth, neither principalities or things above or things below shall by any means separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Love is not God. God is love. There's a huge difference. And he says, let us love one another because love is from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Everyone that loves is born of God and knows, ginosko, intimate knowledge like a man knows a woman sexually as a spouse. And I think about that thing where Jesus says that we get to heaven and he says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. John, I wish I was John. I've visited his grave. I've walked in the steps he's walked in. I've been to his church. And John was one of those loyal people that loved people unconditionally. And he was like the dog that you kept beating and just kept loving God. Just kept loving you. But John was so old on the island of Patmos, and he still loved God during trials. But on the island of Patmos, when his trial was set to get off of it, they let him go because they thought he was too old to do anything for God. And that joker went and planted 23 churches after they let him loose. When I was young, I had all kind of dreams. And I still have dreams to win the world through this church. And I do mean world. But as I get older, I reorder life. And that's not my number one goal. My number one goal is to finish well. Love is a complicated thing. I heard it all my life, but it's true. I sit at home in bed with my kids, and when they're asleep, I look at them, and I say to myself secretly, I didn't know I could love this deeply. I never felt that kind of love as a single person. And I realized there's a depth to love. There's a depth to the Jordan River. And last night, someone loved me and Jenny as a shepherd, as sheep, in a way that I had never experienced in 38 years. And I realized that I had dipped deeper into a subject that I thought I reigned in. As a pastor, you get to the place after 38 years to where you extend your hands unconditionally and you love people with no expectation of return because you don't know who's going to bite next. And so there was this place in my life where I thought I had it all taken care of, but there was a depth of love that I hadn't experienced before. I realized there's measurements to love. There's depth to love. There's width to love. That love is deeper. And God says it's so deep that it starts with your walk with him. And it says, how do you sum all this up? It says, love one another, because love is from God. And everyone who loves him has been born of God and knows God. I mean, after all these degrees, after all these years, after all the years you've served God, at the end of the day, how do you sum it up on a dashboard? If you're in here right now and you've served God all those years and you're a harsh, critical, cruel human being, I'm here to tell you with love, you're going to hell. God doesn't say, I know your mind because you tithe so much. He doesn't say, I know your mind because you volunteer all the time. And all those things are needed. They're actually the result of actually loving God. But am I the only one in here that didn't want to mess it up with such a soon return of Jesus at any minute? I believe it's imminent. Am I the only one in here that ever stops and says some days, God, I got to get this right. I got to get that right. I got to get that. I got to do all of blah, 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 blah. And then I thought, I can't do all this. I just can't do it. I fail here. I get that right. I do half of that. And I said, you know what? I'm going to back up. I got one rule. I'm going to love real hard and I'm going to love real deep because I heard about a scripture that says love covers a multitude of sins. And I figure if we can get anything right, maybe we ought to get this thing right. Even though it sounds simple, it's so deep, so wide that no one of us is ever really going to understand it. But it's so stinking important. It's what gets you in the gate. Blood got you in the gate. But where did blood come from? Who is love? It's Jesus, God. For God so that he... Love has to be sacrificial, expecting nothing in return. The Bible says, it's these scary, frightening words. It says, because love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. I don't care if I get any farther than that. I want to, but at the end of the day, I want to get this right. Anybody with me? I mean, how many of you got problems? How many of you feel like you are a problem? Yeah, me too. How many of you feel like you screw up more than you succeed? And me too. How many of you get angry? How many of you have been hurt by loving someone else? Yeah, me too. It makes you afraid. It causes you to pull back and protect yourself. But it's so dangerous in how you respond and deal with love, because at the end of the day, it is your dashboard of salvation. Read on with me. It says, the one who does not love does not know God. It doesn't get any plainer. It's easy to love people like yourself, and it's easy. You know what? I'm going to shock you with this. It's easy to love people like yourself, and it's easy to love even your enemies. What? No. That's not the hard part of love, because you have to realize the scriptures I've read to you thus far present a picture of love that is comprehended, which means the likelihood of you comprehending it is low if you don't concentrate. God never said, I want you to comprehend that God so loved the world. No. He said in Romans 5:5 that I want you to comprehend, Ephesians 3:17, I want you to comprehend something most people miss. And what did he want? What did he warn us to understand? Something that we all think we understand, that we've all understood. And what was that? Those that love God know God. Those that love, love God and know God. I mean, what more do you want? So how do you know God? How do you know you love God? You know you love Him when you love other people. It says, the one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Love is not God. God is love. Now watch this. He's actually going to give you some great doctrine here. God's love was revealed. Now that gets interesting, because now it leaves the lower foundation of love, loving, putting it out there. But how do you know the difference between whether you are loving God and loving people to be liked or accepted? Or you're loving God out of a purity that says you know Him and He knows you. Because there is stages, there are depths, there are shallowness and there's deepness. There's the Jordan River and there's last night. There's these things where if you're not careful, you dip down and there's a depth to it you didn't realize. God's love was revealed. Now, God is love. What is love? God. But how did He reveal this love? He revealed it amongst us in this way.
God sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Now hold on. It's getting complicated now. Loving Moses is easy. Loving Jenny is easy. But that's not where we're at. He says God revealed his love through the crucifixion. So that we may live through him. Read it. Look here. God's love was revealed amongst us in this way. God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. That love has to flow. It says love consists of this. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son to be the propitiation. So where does love start at? You know, preparing for this message and the stuff I'm not even preaching. I went to a Buddhist website. Buddhism is the biggest crock of manure I've ever seen in my life. Because number one, it's a form of agnosticism. Number two, it's one of the cruelest religions you'll ever participate in. It has been hijacked by Hollywood as a peaceful religion. But the truth is that every Buddhist believes that anybody hurting or suffering or poor is getting it paid back by karma. And it says that love consists in this, not that we've loved God, but that he loved us first and he sent his Son to be the propitiation. So when you look at the fact that love is God and that we don't know him or love him without love being the dashboard, it began when we realized that he loved us when we didn't love him. Now watch, dear friends, if God loved us in this way, in what way? He loved us when we didn't love him. When you hated God, he loved you. When you rejected God, he loved you. He says, no one's ever seen God. I get that, because I saw him last night. I saw him this morning. It's going to upset some of your apricots, but I saw him in the form of a blind black boy in Africa. I have seen God. Not physical. What was you expecting? Earthquakes? I saw God last night. I saw God this morning. I saw God in the alcoholic that studies his scriptures and says, God, give me freedom. It's the darndest places you can find God. I saw God Thursday night in our recovery program that had over 50 people in it. I saw him Saturday morning when a young girl who's a young mother trying to get her life free. Being loved by somebody else, I see God quite often. But the point is, if you love him, you'll let him love through you. Because God is love, but the problem is receiving love. And then watch this. He starts a whole nother letter in the middle of a letter, in the middle of a letter. Dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we also must love one another. Because no one has ever seen God. He just explained himself. If we love one another, God remains in us and his love is perfected in us. Now hold on here. You mean love can be perfected? How do you perfect love? If love is what gets you into heaven, is the proof that you're going to heaven, is what I should say. And it was what got you into heaven. For God so loved the world. It was through the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed, the propitiation, so that you and I could be free. He says his love is perfected in you. This is how we know that we remain in him. You had me at hello. This is how we know that we remain in him and he remains in us. How many want God to remain in you? Here's the answer. He has given to us from his Spirit, capital S, pneuma. And we have seen and we testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him and he in God. And we have come to know progression and to believe the love that God has for us. And right there, it's it. Now, I want you to hear me very carefully. What does mature love look like? This kind of love. The answer is going to shock you. Let me lead you into a good gospel Holy Ghost trap. How many of you love pretty well? Can I see your hands? More of you than that. Are you guys going to hell? How many of you try to love? Let me give you a way out. There you go. You got a guilt complex. See, that's exactly the point. You just tied yourself in a loop. You even proved it further by not even raising your hand the first time. How do you know you have received the love of God? This is how we know that we have remained in him and that he is in us. He has given us his Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him and he is God. And we have come to know and to believe the love of God. So how do you know? Who wants to go to heaven? Let me see hands. Everybody understand that you can't go there without love? That is the dashboard? Did you hear what I just said? Watch this. And we have come to know, verse 16, and to believe. We have come to know. Okay, I'm okay because I know it. And to believe the love God has for us. You know that your life is full of love when you come to the understanding that you can receive the love of God for your faults. I counsel people all week. They come in crying because they screw up here and they screw up there. That's how God helped them understand love. If you want to go deep with God in love, say amen. How do you know? When you get there, you've gained the ability to receive love for yourself. Some of you are beating yourself up for a divorce that happened 20 years ago. Some of you have no problem loving everybody else. That's the lowest form of love. Actually, there's tears and they tie each other up. God is love. And because God is love, you let him love through you and you give out sacrificially. But then it says this thing has to mature. Or if it doesn't mature, then you start loving people to be accepted by them. And you start loving people so you want them to like you. And you start giving away, hoping they're going to give back what you want and what you need and screw the whole process up. He says, no, no. You start out as sacrificial love, rooted in the fact that God is love. And then you mature in it and progress in it to the depths and the heights that you've never known before. And so what is that next depth? It's that it's for me. that I receive it and embrace it. And say, God, I accept it. Lord, you can love everybody in the building, but you can't love yourself. That's dangerous. That's narcissism. No, you're foolish. It's only narcissism if you love somebody to get something back from them. But God's love, buddy, has a PhD that you can earn in it. And then you know you're graduating from grade school to high school in the Academy of Love when you cannot just spew it out, but you can receive it. That's why love is so dangerous, because there's so many things about love that hurts, and so many things about love that can wound you, and so many things about love that you just are trained to pull back and not receive love from other people because you've been hurt so many times. And you know what God says? It's shocking. He says, you know the depth and the height of my love when you can receive it for yourself. Because you cannot give, truly give, until you learn to receive. What did the scripture say? Better to give than... That's right. So where are you with God this morning? Where is your love quotient? Quoting on the dashboard. And so at the end of the day, I got one question for you this morning. If you want to graduate and want to make it to heaven, then you got to realize you got to take that love to the place that you apply it to yourself and forgive yourself. And we know, we've come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. Because God is love, and the one who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him. Let me prove it further. In this, love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence on the day of judgment. How many of you would like to have confidence on the day of judgment? How do you have confidence on the day of judgment? How many of you have screwed up? Let me see your heads. All right? We're all in huge trouble if there's no cross, no grace, no God. No loving God. As a matter of fact, I'm getting ready to close, but go ahead and come up here, Jeremy. In the Easter service, I took a clip of a movie I was watching. Actually, the little girl in the movie portrays herself as a preacher. Kind of like Amy Simple McPherson in the 1920s. And she's gotten hooked on drugs. And she's struggling with her faith, and she looks up into the camera, and she looks at this other guy in the movie, and she says, I don't know if there's a God or not. But if there is, I hope he's kind. Until you can forgive yourself, you will never know an additional depth of love that gets you to heaven. How do you know that you've forgiven yourself? In this, love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. For we are his, as his is in this world. There is no fear in love. Instead, perfect love drives out all fear. Because fear involves punishment. So the one who fears in love has not reached the perfection of love. My God, that's good. We love because he first loved us. Do you have the guts?
to let yourself be loved. Can you forgive yourself? How do you forgive yourself? It's very simple. Receive. How in the world did that get so hard? To give out love, piece of cake. But to receive it for yourself is a depth very few Christians ever reach. To where you lay your head on your pillow tonight and realize because God is love, there's no need to fear the day of judgment. Whew, hallelujah. I've learned a long time ago that failure makes beautiful fertilizer. I also told myself when I was young that I wasn't going to let one failure define my future. I don't know about you, but if there's one thing I want to get right, it's love. You say amen? Anybody gotten anything out of this? I'm sitting here struggling in my soul how to handle this, and I don't want an altar call. I want you to go out of this room and I want you to wrestle with maturity. How do you wrestle with maturity? Laying down your guilt and your self-condemnation and receiving love. Because when you, what's the Bible say? It says, the people who love him the most was because he forgave them the most. Who are the people who are the least likely to love you? Harsh, religious people who think they have no need for forgiveness because they do everything right in their eyes. But when you can walk, get up and walk out that door and say, it's over today, I'm going to start growing in love because I'm going to leave my self-pity right here. And I'm going to open up my life and realize he did what I cannot do for myself. Father, in the name of Jesus, hear us when we pray. Amen.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.